Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Hallelujah! Give Jesus another hand clap. Amen and amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Let us pray. Father, we are thankful to you this morning. Thank you for today, another opportunity to be where your presence is, because you've made it abundantly clear that your presence is where two or three are gathered in your name. This morning I pray, oh God, that as you have done aforetimes, you will continue to do this morning, and that is to speak to us. Your word makes us to understand that all scripture is inspired by you and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Today, let your word accomplish a great thing in our hearts and in our lives. And let us leave here wiser. Let us leave here more knowledgeable. Let us leave here better people, resolved to serve you and to know you better. I give you praise, I give you glory for everyone in Jesus' mighty name. And let everybody say, amen. Amen. Please put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. So as you are already aware, today is Mother's Day, which is a celebration honoring mothers and motherhood. Honoring maternal bonds, and then also to honor mothers, remembering the influence that they have in society. Amen. And so this morning, on behalf of the leaders and the members of the Shepherd's Fold Restoration family, we want to join millions of people across the world to celebrate and honor our amazing mothers, and we want to wish them a happy Mother's Day. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. You know, a certain lady, she's called Dorothy Fisher. Not Dorothy Awanyo. She made a statement, and this is what she said: that mother is a verb. When you were in school, you learned the difference between verbs and nouns. Is that not so? So what is a verb? It's a doing word or an action word. So she says that mother is a verb. It is something that you do, not just who you are. Think about it again. She said, mother is a verb. It is something you do, not just who you are. So what she's explaining by this statement is this: that being a mother is more than carrying a child in your womb for 9 months and giving birth to that child. There's more to motherhood than that. Motherhood is about showing love, showing care, showing compassion. It's about protecting. It's about caring for others. And therefore, anybody who does any of these things and more is actually fulfilling what it means to be a mother. Hallelujah. Now, there may be some women here. Perhaps you don't have a child. it doesn't make you any less of a mother. And as we press on in today's sermon, you will appreciate even further what I'm saying to you. And so when we talk about honoring mothers, we are... Hetty, it's good to see you. I didn't tell me that you were coming with her. Wow. So we have Prophet Soate and his family in the house. Put your hands together for them. God bless you. This morning they decided to worship with us. You know, they need to do some other things, so they'll dash at a point. But it's a great pleasure and joy to see you and to have you here. Hallelujah. And the church says, I should tell you that we have missed you. So we are waiting for you to come and bless us again. Why? But we are patient. We know that he makes all things beautiful in his time. Say amen. Amen. So what was I saying? Yeah, so I'm saying to you that when we talk about wishing mothers a happy Mother's Day, I am not just restricting it to those who have biological children. I'm not just restricting it to wives, because in this church we try to include mothers and we put mothers and wives together. But I'm even including any woman here who has been a mother figure to somebody in this life. And the Happy Mother's Day that we are wishing captures all of such people. This morning I want to invite all mothers, all wives, and any woman who falls in this category that I've mentioned, can you please rise to your feet and let the whole church celebrate you right now. Put your hands together for our mothers. Thank you, Jesus. Celebrate them. Celebrate them. Put your hands together for them. Hallelujah. Oh, do it better. Do it better. Hey, Emmanuel, why were you standing? You are not a mother.
Don't you let them down.
God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. Still fantastic. All righto. Well, this morning, I want to share the word of God with you. And I'm going to share a message I have titled, The Qualities of a Good Mother. The Qualities of a Good Mother. And at the tail end of the service, we're going to invite all mothers up front. We're going to pray for you. And then the church has a gift for you. This is something we usually do on Mother's Day. All right? So at the right time, I would invite you and pray for you. So I'm going to talk to you about the qualities of a good mother. Everybody say, the qualities of a good mother. And to niya yepesi yecheni say, Obatampebia or Bibi Ewan Hua, a man ye obatampa. San Niaman and Hunsem, and ye pese ye can anope. Hallelujah. Amen. And so I want you to turn your Bibles with me. Let's read some verses of scripture, and then we will get right into the word. Exodus chapter 1, and we want to read from verse 8 to verse 13. Exodus chapter 1, verse 8 to 13. This is what the word of God says. Eventually, a new king came to power in Egypt who knew nothing about Joseph or what he had done. He said to his people, "Look, the people of Israel now outnumber us and are stronger than we are. We must make a plan to keep them from growing even more. If we don't, and if war breaks out, they will join our enemies and fight against us. Then they will escape from the country." I want to prophesy into your life. May God make you stronger than those who oppress you. May every plan that your enemies have hatched against you, may that plan totally backfire. May every intention, every design of those who hate you, to bring you down and to put you under. May God crumble that plan in the mighty name of Jesus. May Trawano pay. Say Erade enya ukesie. Send ye beya one more omuchiriwu. And asa watamfo omwe nim ebeguase. Nya omwa sheshe efa wonhono. Me shao boy and se bako kre ni mwa ebebemu. Ewa Jesu Christo dimu. Hallelujah. Then it goes on to say, so the Egyptians made the Israelites their slaves. They appointed brutal slave drivers over them, hoping to wear them down with crushing labor. They forced them to build the cities of Pithom and Ramesses as supply centers for the king. But the more the Egyptians oppressed them, the more the Israelites multiplied and spread, and the more alarmed the Egyptians became. Hallelujah. And I declare unto you, may all your opponents and your adversaries, may they be disturbed when they see what God is doing in your life. Can I hear your loudest amen? Nobody can disturb or destroy whatever God has destined concerning you. I want you to believe that. I'll say it again. Nobody can destroy or disturb whatever God has purposed concerning you. Believe it in your heart. Believe it with all your soul. Understand that you are a carrier of a prophetic destiny. And God himself is watching over you and watching over his purpose concerning your life. And I declare to you today that what he has said concerning you will come to pass and nobody can frustrate it. Can I hear your loud amen? Amen. There are two statements that I always want you to remind yourself about. Number one, atamfu enyanyami. Amen. What is the first statement? Say it again. And then the second statement is this. God no go shame you. What did I say? What are the two statements? Number one, atamfu enyanyami. And then number two, God no go shame us. Look into the face of your neighbor and make these two statements to him or her. Tell them right now. Say it to another person. Say it to a third person and clap your hands in faith, in belief of these two statements. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Let's continue. Verse 15 to 17 of Exodus chapter 1. It says, then Pharaoh, verse 15, the king of Egypt, gave this order to the Hebrew midwives, Shifra and Pua. It didn't cry in you. When you help the Hebrew women as they give birth, watch as they deliver. If the baby is a boy, kill him. If it's a girl, let her live. But because the midwives feared God, they refused to obey the king's order. They allowed the boys to live too. Now take note of that statement. But because the midwives feared God, or see, Esani said, one more moji a one, Esro nyamininti. Nya ohini ne ekachila wonsa wonyenu, womu e indiswo. Hallelujah. And I want us all to get to this point that our fear and reverence for God will supersede our fear and reverence of man and of all authority figures in our lives. Hallelujah. Now, you see, this is important because sometimes we are very concerned about what people say, what people think, what people are expecting of us. And we don't realize that it is not everything that you are supposed to obey, especially if it is contrary to what you know God is expecting of you. Hallelujah. And I want us to get to a place that wherever we find ourselves, we will hold up God high, His words, His instructions, and our first instinct should be that we will rather obey God than to obey men. So in school, may your fear and reverence of God be greater than your fear and reverence of your headmaster. In your office, may your fear and reverence of God be greater than the fear and reverence you have for your boss. I didn't hear anybody say amen. And in the church, may your fear and reverence for God be greater than your fear and reverence for your pastor, for your bishop, for your prophet. What is somebody going to say in response to that? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 22 of Exodus 1. Now, the reason why I'm reading all these verses is to help you to understand the context of what I'm about to share with you as today's message. Verse 22 of Exodus 1. Then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people. Throw every newborn Hebrew boy into the Nile River, but you may let the girls live. Did you see that? All right. So basically, I've just read to you portions of scripture explaining something that happened to the people of Israel, to the Hebrews, when they were in Egypt. Through Joseph, they ended up in Egypt. And for more than 400 years, actually 430 years, they were there. It so happened that a king came into power who did not know much about Joseph. He didn't read his history books. He didn't do research. So he didn't realize that there was a Hebrew gentleman that the whole nation of Egypt owes its existence to. Because once upon a time, a severe famine struck the whole world. And it was through the wisdom that God gave to Joseph that Egypt was exempt from the effects of the famine. And because of that famine, the people of Israel, the Jews, ended up in Egypt. And after 400 years, of course, Joseph was gone. But a new king came into power who did not know about him and started oppressing the people of Israel. It got to a point he realized that the Hebrews were multiplying and were becoming stronger. And he was afraid that they would take over the whole country. So he came up with this diabolical plan to oppress them and to prevent them from multiplying and increasing. And he gave an instruction that when they give birth, if the child is a boy, he should be killed. And to Egypt on Henano, Oshemre be say, say Hebrew emano omuwo na se obano eye bema, womun kumuno. So your ba, yemano entena. Now this is a very wicked plan. But God knows how to take care of his own. I said God knows how to take care of his own. And whenever there's any plan aimed at hurting or harming you, may God deliver you from that plan. Shout a louder amen. Now, let's go to Exodus chapter 2, verse 1. About this time, a man and woman from the tribe of Levi got married. A man and a woman from the tribe of Levi got married. Now, to know who this man and woman are, move to Exodus chapter 6, verse 20, and then we'll come back to Exodus chapter 2. So move a few pages ahead to Exodus chapter 6 and verse number 20. It says, Amram married his father's sister. Somebody say, Ewo. He married who? His aunt. She was a young woman. So although she was his aunt, he married her. All sorts of things used to happen in those days. So don't come and see me that you want to marry your aunt. So Amram married his father's sister, Jochebed, and she gave birth to his sons, Aaron and Moses. So the man and the woman that you read about in Exodus chapter 2, verse 1, Exodus 6:20 is revealing who they are. They are, or they were, the parents of Moses. What was his father's name? Say it again. Amram. And what was his mother's name? Jochebed. And they had three children, two males and one female. The firstborn was Aaron. The secondborn, the lady, was Miriam, Moses' sister. And of course, the lastborn was Moses. And so, if you do religious studies in school, and they ask you who were Moses' parents, you have the answer right there. Don't say, Kwesi Minta and Adrensia. It is not. The name of Moses' father was what again? Amram, and the name of his mother, Jochebed. All right, let's go back to Exodus 2, verse 1. So about this time, a man and a woman from the tribe of Levi got married. The woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She saw that he was a special baby and kept him hidden for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a basket made of papyrus reeds and waterproofed it with tar and pitch, something like bitumen, all right, to make it watertight. And she put the child in that basket. The Bible says she put the baby in the basket and laid it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile River. The baby's sister then stood at a distance, watching to see what would happen to him. Enti maami bi ene papa bi e wo ba bema e wo samre ya ye kan wa asem ya ohene ya ye friend Pharaoh a odi Egypt so no ahye emre bi se se Hebrew phone e wo ba bema bi a wo munkum no na so ba ba wo mma no entena se enti sama me papa ye friend Amram ene ne yere ya ye friend Jochebed omo wo ba bema na Bosumi miensa 3 months omo di akolani esieye ebia ye wonu prematurely whatever it is into for 3 months omo ni omo di akolani sie ne edu emre bia omo hu se omo ntumi mfa akolani ensie biom into den o maame ne ye okope kenten ena odi eniam bi esisi ehun ntokru no ena odi akolano ehyeemi ena odi tu ensio no eni ena ma akolani nia baanu o mane teteye ewo enwre mu na onhwe nia ebesie. Hallelujah. All right, we continue. So soon, and don't mind my tree, I come from the Volta region, so I speak only Ebe. Why I don't speak Ebe? Who said, hey, ask that person whether she's my co-equal. And say, I speak Ebe, I speak English, I speak Fanti, and I speak tongues. Do you see? So if I'm strangling with the chi, know that I come from a faraway place. So bear with me. Soon, Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe in the river, and her attendants walked along the riverbank. When the princess saw the basket among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it for her. When the princess opened it, she saw the baby. The little boy was crying, and she felt sorry for him. Another version says she had compassion on him. "This must be one of the Hebrew children," she said. Then the baby's sister approached the princess. "Should I go and find one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" she asked. "Yes, do," the princess replied. So the girl went and called the baby's mother. "Take this baby and nurse him for me," the princess told the baby's mother. "I will pay you for your help." So now she was being paid to take care of her own child. May God cause you to receive special blessings and benefits and favor in this life. Say a loud amen. Amen. So the woman took her baby home and nursed him. Later, when the boy was older, his mother brought him back to Pharaoh's daughter, who adopted him as her own son. The princess named him Moses, for she explained, "I lifted him out of the water." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word, and let everybody say, "Thanks be to God." All right. So now I can get into my sermon. The qualities of a good mother. Now, let me proceed by making these two important points. Number one, there are actually two types of mothers you will find in this life. What did I say? There are two types of mothers that you will find in this life. The first type or the first kind are biological mothers. Biological mothers. And then the second type is actually foster mothers. So two kinds of mothers: biological mothers and foster mothers. Amen. Now, biological mothers are mothers who take care or who give birth to the child or to the children that they take care of themselves. All right, so these are biological mothers. They give birth and then they take care of their own child or children. Then we have foster mothers. These are mothers who take care of or are taking care of children that they didn't give birth to. Is the difference clear? So there are two kinds of mothers: biological mothers and foster mothers. Inti ewa brabo mi ube un se about time ye wo mu ahuduo mi nu ye wo wonu mu a wo mu wo eba na omo tete akola no ena ye wo wonu mu a omo tete ema enye won ene wo won. These are the two kinds of mothers you will find in this life. And in the passage of scripture that we read in Exodus chapter 2, you can actually see these two types of mothers there. Moses, as you can tell from the scripture that we read, had two types of mothers involved in his life. There was Auntie Jochebed, who was his own biological mother. She took care of him till he was about 3 or 4 or 5 years old. After that, he was handed over to a foster mother in the person of Pharaoh's daughter. And she nurtured him and took care of him till he was an adult. So we can see these two types of mothers in this scripture. And it is important for us to note that in this life, you are going to actually find two kinds of mothers. Is that easy to understand? The second point that I want to make is this: never bypass an opportunity to take care of somebody else's child or children. Never bypass an opportunity. Se nyame ebie kwan bi emao. Se hwe obi foforo ba. Don't let that opportunity pass you by. Why? Because it may actually be a God-given opportunity to be a part of a great destiny. It may actually be a God-given opportunity to be a part of a great destiny. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. And the child who turns out to be the greatest blessing to you may actually be the child that you didn't give birth to. Should I say it again? The child who may be your greatest source of blessing may actually be the child that you didn't give birth to. Life is very mysterious and life is very strange. And that is why when you have an opportunity to take care of somebody else's child or children, don't blow it. Don't say that he's not my son. She is not my daughter. And therefore, I cannot take care of him or her. Or I will not take good care of him or her. A son said, Asitine mu anasa abrabo imu. Nyami ebe to me edi obi abawa kwa imuwa. Asa wo yesa oni akro no papa edi inshrasronko ene bebrewo. Because life is very strange. So, never bypass an opportunity to take care of somebody else's child or children. So now let's move on into the main thrust of the message, shall we? And let's now talk about the qualities of a good mother. So here I'm referring to biological mothers and also to foster mothers. And I want to talk about some of the qualities. Of course, I can't talk about all the qualities. But based on the scripture that we read in Exodus chapter 2, we are able to glean or to pick out some of the qualities of good mothers. And these are the qualities I want to focus on. Hallelujah. And we're going to run through it quickly. The first quality of a good mother, based on the scripture that we read, that I want to draw your attention to, is this: good mothers love their children deeply. Good mothers love their children deeply. John is one younger then. Good mothers love their children deeply. Abatampa, one more door or mama. No, plural. In your bad time. Yeah. No, some of you are correct. Yeah, so it's plural. Or you want me to do? Yeah, I said good mothers love their children. So, abatampa edo omomeye. That's the first thing that you see about good mothers. They love their children deeply. Deeply. Now, why am I saying this? It is based on what we see with Jochebed, who was the biological mother of Moses, as well as what we see with Pharaoh's daughter. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us her name. There are Bible theologians who have come up with different names based on the history of the Egyptians, but I am comfortable to just stay with what the Bible says. And if the Bible doesn't say it, I want to leave it alone. You know, there are some people who always want to fiddle with all kinds of things, with mysteries. The Bible says that the secret things belong to the Lord. And there are some things that God has hidden from us, or there are some things that God is silent on in his word. So you always have to be careful. Now, it doesn't mean that everything outside the Bible is not true or it's not relevant. It doesn't mean that. But what it means is that when you are reading the scriptures and you are interpreting the scriptures, it is better you focus on what the Bible is open about, and then don't bother yourself too much about any details that have not been presented. How many can understand what I'm saying to you? All right, that's fine. Now, we don't know Pharaoh's daughter's name from the scriptures. But you can see that in both cases, Moses' biological mother and his foster mother, they loved him deeply. How do I know? Here we are. Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, had given instruction that kill all the male children. That was the instruction. But Jochebed, Moses' mother, hit him. She hit him. Somebody made a promise to me. She's not keeping her promise. Now, Jochebed hit the child, and it was a dangerous thing. It was a dangerous thing because she put her life on the line for the child. Remember what the Bible says, greater love has no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for a friend. So one of the signs of great love is where you are prepared to lay down your life for somebody. It's not a usual thing. There are husbands, if they are with their wives and they see that danger is coming, Paul, what are they likely to do? They run away. But Paul is not like that. Hey, Apostle Paul, he will lay down his life for his dear wife. Where is she? Her name is Karimi Dego. Oh, she's gone to the back to take care of the child. Yeah. Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, that a man should lay down his life. So when you are prepared to lay your life down for somebody else, it is a sign of great love. And Jochebed, Moses' mother, was prepared to lay her life down because obviously it was a risky thing that she was doing. If she had been found out, she could easily have been killed for it because she had openly defied the king and disobeyed his instructions. And she could have lost her life for it. But she was prepared to lay her life down for her child. Pharaoh's daughter must have loved the boy deeply. Because you see, my friends, it takes deep love to be able to take care of somebody else's child. Human beings are naturally selfish. Chris, is that not so? Are you selfish? Sometimes. A few times, you see. Yeah. And the news for you is that you are not alone. All the people seated here who are listening to you, excluding me, are intrinsically very selfish. That's how we are. It is part of the defect that came with sin. Selfishness. So usually, you are not going to find a normal average woman taking very good special care of a child that she did not give birth to. And so you can see from this account that good mothers, they love their children deeply. That's one of the qualities of good mothers. They love their children deeply. Number two. Good mothers are selfless and sacrificial. Good mothers are selfless and sacrificial. eno kire se abatan pa omo enwene omo ho se so omo ye bibi kra ebe dum obi ah you know they themselves will suffer lack for it. They will do it. Good mothers are selfless and sacrificial. Again, we see it with Jochebed, Moses' biological mother, and even with Pharaoh's daughter, his foster mother. You could see that Jochebed was not thinking about herself as she was taking care of the little boy in danger, and she was in danger for her own life. I'm saying again to you, she could have been killed for defying the king, but she was selfless. And she was prepared to sacrifice her own life and her own well-being for the sake of her child. Good mothers are like that. They are selfless and they are sacrificial. That's why sometimes something that is important to them and precious to them, they are prepared to let it go so that their children or their child can have a comfortable life. I don't know about your mother, but I can say about my mother that she was like that. She sold off her best jewelry. Expensive jewelry. Everybody knows that a woman takes a lot of pride in her jewelry. And it's not something that she likes to part with. It's not easy for her to part with her jewelry and certain types of clothes. But so that we will be taken good care of, she sold her best jewelry, her best pieces of cloth, so that there will be enough money at home to take care of us. Sometimes good mothers go hungry so that their children can have food to eat. Sometimes good mothers look so wretched so that their children can look correct. They deprive themselves things. So, you see, always be careful what judgment you pass on people. She doesn't look a certain way. She doesn't dress well. She doesn't do it. You don't know what sacrifices she's had to make in order to be able to take care of her home. And you will discover that good mothers are very selfless and they are very sacrificial. Hallelujah. Number three, and we'll finish in a few minutes. Good mothers can see things, whether good or bad, about their children and are very discerning. Good mothers can see things, whether good or bad, about their children and are very discerning. Abatampa omuhu enyama efa omumahu. Ebi ye niyama pa. Ebi ye niyama boni. Na omuhu. If you're a good mother, you are able to see things about the children that you've given birth to, whether they are good or whether they are bad. And you are very discerning. Utu mihu se, adie wei ewomi baye hu. Exodus chapter 2 verse 2. The B part. It says about Jochebed, Moses' mother, she saw that he was a special baby. What did she see? She saw that he was a special baby. So she saw that her child was special. The Message Bible puts it in this way. She saw that there was something special about him. And she hid him. She saw. She could discern. She could recognize it. So the reason why she hid the child, she could easily have given him up. Like what other Hebrew mothers did. She could easily have given up her child for her own safety and security. But the Bible says she saw Now, the King James, another version, says that he was a goodly child, he was a beautiful child. But I like this definition more, special. She saw that the child was special. And she realized that she had to keep him. And let me say this, if she hadn't noticed that the child was special, she would probably have given him up. And that would have been the end of the one who was destined to be the savior of his people. It is because she saw that the boy was special. That is why she went through all that effort to preserve him and to protect him. And I want to say this to you, and I pray for all mothers, biological, foster mothers, and especially new mothers, those who have new small babies or they are yet to have them. I want to say to you, pray that God will give you the ability to see things in the children that He's entrusted you with, especially from a very early age. It's important. Pray that God should open your eyes to see the good things, the bad things, the positive things, the negative things, the virtues, the vices, the strengths, the weaknesses. Pray that God should open your eyes to see. And I'm saying this especially where the mothers are concerned. Pray that God should give you that ability. Because if you see those things and you see them early enough, you have the opportunity to direct their lives. Can I have an amen from somebody? So, think about the children that God has blessed you with. What can you see about them? Do you have the ability to see? So you may have a child, and from the way the child is, even from a very tender age, you can see that this child is a very intelligent child. It's above average. See it. See it so that you don't waste that child's life. And instead of seeing him through school, don't tell him that wako school no kakra eye but na fie na yen ton dok no. You are wasting the child's life. You may see a child who is gifted musically. It's like any song that the child hears, he's able to sing it. Have you seen children like that before? It's a gift. So nurture that gift. Don't waste it, because good mothers can see these things about their children. But it's not just the positive, even the negatives. You have a child, Debiana Kolano Wemuna. Debiana Kolano Wemuna. Akolano on Sre. If you have a child like that, please work on him. Work on her. Because Ninim Edru. So tell the child, Sre. Sre. Put him in front of a mirror and show him how to smile. Because you can. You see, when you see somebody whose face is very heavy and bony, what is the first thing that occurs to you? Wicked person. And a lot of wicked people, they don't smile. So if you have a child and you see that this child doesn't smile, work on it before he turns into a very wicked child. Before you realize he's become a suicide bomber and has joined Al-Qaeda and all these other people doing bad things in the north of Ghana. Be very careful. May God open your eyes to see Semibe or Yakwajuro. May God open your eyes to see Semibe Senokika Kono as a Jimmy Letter Kobi. Because you can see. Tafla Chenkolani Biwahwa as a Jimmy. So you must see and you must know how to correct and direct their lives. And if you're a good mother, you can see. Be able to see that this child is destined to be a pastor. See it and don't fight it. Don't say, over my dead body, this my child will never be a pastor. Yes. Don't fight it. Have you been fighting him? Allow him. He says he wants to be an apostle. Or tell another way, choose new office of the doubt. It's a calling from God. And some of the callings of God, they come very early. Samuel was a little child when God called him to be a prophet. And his mother was a good mother. She did not stand in his way. Even before he was born, she had decided that Abufre or Yanyameza. So, if you're a good mother, you will see. You will perceive things about the children that God has given to you. And I'm saying to you again, if you don't have that ability, pray for it. Should I continue or should I end? Let's finish because I don't want to preach about it again next week. So please excuse us if we go a little longer. We'll be done in a few minutes. Number four. We are talking about qualities of a good mother. Good mothers will do everything they can to protect their children. Good mothers will do everything they can to protect their children. Jochebed, Moses' biological mother, did so. And so did Pharaoh's daughter. They did everything they could to protect the little boy. And that's one of the characteristics, one of the qualities. Obia oye oba tampano. Obeye bibia obetumia. Obetumia ye edia bone bano hobain. It's a sign of a good mother. Who do everything. Because Jochebed did everything that she could to protect the child. She hid him so that nobody would see him. When it got to a point when she couldn't hide him any longer, she organized a basket, sealed the holes, put the baby in it, put it on top of put it on the surface of the water, and did not just leave the baby there. Ask the child's little sister to hide in the bushes and watch what was going to happen. She did everything that she could to protect the child. And Pharaoh's daughter, she must have done the same thing. I mean, it was her father who gave the instruction that all the Hebrew boys should be killed. And to protect the child, she must have defied her father. Because obviously, for the time that Jochebed was taking care of the boy, everybody realized that this child should be dead. He should have been thrown into the river. Why is he not being thrown into the river? Because somebody was protecting him. Somebody was shielding him. I can imagine that she told her father, "Sir, would the one saka koleya minya ubebium? Would the one sa ekansa koleya unya me papa bium?" She may have warned the soldiers, say, "Hey, muko kromwa, na mudu sankrofu efiewa, monsen. Mamu njina krasa, muko ye bibia woho. Leave the boy alone. Otherwise, you will see something from me." And good mothers, they protect. They preserve their own. And mothers, protect your children, oh. Protect them. Because there are some mothers, they don't seem to know anything about what is going on in the lives of their children. You don't just leave them in front of the television to just watch cartoons so that you can do your things. Why is it that God has given you a child? And you have left the upkeep of that child with somebody else. I don't get it. Do you get it? Ebano nyame ene dene mao. Na se nyame no di akolane mawa. Wa ma responsibility se wo be hwe akolane so. Na wa ba akolane ho ban. and especially the world that we live in today is a crooked and a perverse world. And you have to protect the child. You have to protect the child from danger. There are little girls who were raped by their own uncles. When they told their mother about it, now, if you are not going to listen to, why are you even insulting me in addition? They didn't believe the child. And it continued for a long time. And when finally it was discovered, it was too late. You have to protect the children. Protect them. Be interested in their friends, who they hang around with. Because the Bible says evil communication corrupts good manners. Don't be happy to see your children just go anywhere and go everywhere. What is wrong with you? Can't you see that you are endangering the child's life? Even the school that your child goes to, you must think about it deeply. Don't just say free SHS. So because of that, he can go to just any school. He cannot just go to any school. Do you know where it is the children get spoiled the most? In school. Especially SHS. That's where they get spoiled the most. I was talking to a young girl. She explained to me, I became a lesbian when I was in senior high school. And the wildest thing that she told me, she said, I joined a witches club. You guys, you have no idea what people go through. Have no idea. Have no idea what they go through. And good mothers, they protect them. They protect the children. They shield them. They will go through any expense to make sure that the child is shielded, the child is protected. And as I'm speaking to you right now, there are a couple of people, as I started talking about these things, your mind has gone far. You can remember what happened to you. Young man, the things that you are caught up in, it started from secondary school. You are here today by the grace of God. But for the grace of God, nobody knows where you will be. And I want to say, to encourage you, even if you are still struggling with certain things, I want you to understand that the grace of God is sufficient for you. And that grace will see you through and bring you out of that situation. Can I hear a loud amen? Amen. So protect them from danger. Protect them from evil. Protect them from bad influences, because that is what a good mother does. Put your hands together for Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Number five. Good mothers have faith and trust that God will take care of their children. About time pa omu wo jidie se nyame ebehwe won ma. Good mothers have faith and trust that God will take care of their children. Which is why Moses' mother was able to do what she did. That thing that she did was a sign of somebody who had faith and trust that God will take care of this special child. She organized the basket, sealed the holes up, put the child in it, put it on the surface of the water, left Miriam, the child's sister, to watch it. She didn't know how. She didn't know when. But she had faith that God would take care of the child. There was something that she saw in the child. Saw that that thing was special. And she did everything she could for the child. And she had faith that God was going to take care of him. Psalms 127 verse 1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. Let me say to you, mothers, do what you can for your children. But have faith in God and entrust your children to God to take care of them. Because you are limited in what you can see. You are restrained in what you can perceive. You are not with the child all the time. You are not. And the way life is now, most of their time they spend away from home. So yes, you must do everything that you can as a good mother to protect them and to keep them. But I want to say to you, you are very limited. That's why you should be a prayerful mother. Pray for your children. Commit them to God. And trust them to God. Because it is only God who can keep them and protect them. Look, sometimes you will do everything that you can, but the child may turn out in a very bad way. And that thing happens when you think that the power to keep and protect them rests only with you. It doesn't rest only with you. It rests more with God. So a good mother has faith and trust in God that he would take care of my children. Hallelujah. Let's finish. Number six, the last but one. Good mothers have compassion. Good mothers have compassion. So we see of Pharaoh's daughter, Exodus 2, 5 and 6, New King James Version. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him. What did she have? Compassion. About time pa omuwo etima. Is that correct? Yeah. Omuwo etima. You may think that all mothers have it. But boy, you have not been around long enough. That's why the Bible says, can a mother forget a suckling child? The answer is yes. Are there not mothers who give birth to children and then dump them on the rubbish dump and put them in public toilets? You've not heard some before. Not every mother has compassion. A good mother has compassion. And compassion is a feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for another who is stricken by misfortune, accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate the suffering. Simply put, it means this. When you have compassion, you have sympathy. You feel for people. And not just that, it doesn't just stay there. You do everything that you can to help the person who is in an unfortunate situation. That's compassion. And good mothers, they have it. Bad mothers, they don't have it. They don't have it at all. And there are some bad mothers like that. They don't have compassion. Look, there are daughters who have asked, mommy, oyemi mommy, is she the one who gave birth to me? Because the wickedness, eh? And sometimes, it is because of what their fathers did that they've passed on all that hatred onto the children. But my question is this. Is it the child's fault? Is it the fault of the child? Why is she being made to pay for the sins of the fathers? There's a gentleman in the Bible, he's called Jabez. Jabez means pain, means sorrow. And the Bible says her mother named him so. Now, the Bible doesn't explain the circumstances that led to such a decision to call the child Jabez. There's another gentleman in the Bible. His name is... What was the... This man was married to Abigail. Nabal. And the meaning of that name is fool. Now, why would you look at your child and give him that name? So sometimes, certain things that happened have fed back negatively on the child. So because of that, a certain feeling, a certain etima, a certain atinkebia, SSL, wo emma, wo banu, anyhow. They told the biankolani bisa say, ah. They come to him and say, ma, pachon person bisa asem. Or they go to their auntie and go and ask, me mami, or ye me mami, or no ne wo mi ampa. Because you cannot understand that my own biological mother can be so cruel and can be so wicked towards me. And the last one, good mothers are not overly possessive and clingy. Good mothers are not overly possessive and clingy. Exodus 2 verse 10. Later, when the boy was older, his mother brought him back to Pharaoh's daughter, who adopted him as her own son. What do I mean here? And it's the last but one, but that's okay for the day. Jochebed, Moses' mother, kept him till he was about 3, 4, 5 years old. After that, she released him. She let him go. She realized that it was time to let him go. About tiny biwohwa, almost shen kolano so. Is that how to say it? Possessive and clingy. Yeah. That's how they are. It's like you smother the child with your love, with your attention, and with your affection. The child cannot even breathe. And sometimes you are there are mothers who are too possessive. But there's a point that you need to release the child. Let him go to the boarding house. Yes. Let her go to the boarding house. There are some mothers, the reason why their sons are not married is because they are too possessive. Any chick who comes into his life, she doesn't like. Why? So your son, no? You go marry him. You go marry the boy. You cannot marry him. And there are some mothers, when their sons marry, it is not easy for their daughters-in-law. It's not easy for them. Very possessive, very interfering, want to have a say in everything that goes on in the marriage. It is not a good thing. Good mothers don't do that. They learn to release. Because when they are marrying, they are supposed to leave and cleave. That's what they are supposed to do. They are supposed to leave and cleave. So allow them. Because you are hurting them. You are hurting him. You are hurting her by being so possessive. Let the child gain his independence. Let the child gain her independence. The interference is too much. It's time for the child to leave home. Let him leave home. He has gone to marry, and you want him to come and live in the house with you, in the same place. Why? All your 7.5 children were born in that house, in your parents' house. Why? Who is the half? The half is yet to be born. So good mothers are not overly possessive, and they are not clingy. And the last one is that good mothers, they know when to tell their children the things that they must know. Moses knew that he was a Hebrew. That's why in verse Exodus 2, go to verse 10. Let me show you. Is this verse 10? Verse 11. Exodus 2, verse 11. Many years later, when Moses had grown up, he went to visit who? He went to visit who? His own people. So he knew. He knew that he was not an Egyptian. He knew he was a Jew. And how did he know? Because he was told. Remember that as a little child, he was taken to Pharaoh's daughter. She nurtured him. She brought him up. But she didn't hide from him who he really was. Now I want to say to you mothers, there are things that you must let the child know. But it's not everything. It is not everything. It is not everything. Because sometimes the things that you tell the child is what ends up destroying them. But there are some things, critical things that they must know. At the point she must know that I am adopted. At the point he must know, she must know. Because when they discover it later on, it affects them. I was listening to a BBC documentary be like that. About this boy who was taken away from his mother. His mother was arrested and put in prison. And the police official who arrested the man took the child, because he and his wife, they didn't have a child. So took this boy and brought him up as their own child. And later on they had their own children. And for all his life he didn't know. But this woman, after she was released from prison, she started looking for her child. Started looking, and eventually she found the child. You can imagine how the boy was devastated when he was told that these people are not your real parents. And when he went into the story and discovered how wicked her father was, so that is the stepfather or the foster father, that they actually stole him from his rightful mother. Since then, it spoiled something. It affected his relationship with them, affected his relationship with his siblings. Good mothers, they tell their children the things that they must know at the right time. But I'm also saying to you that there are some things that should be left alone. And I pray that God himself will give you the wisdom to distinguish between the two. May the Lord add his blessing to the preaching of his word today. Time is spent. Rise to your feet and let's close. Have you been blessed? All right. We thank the Lord. Let us pray. Oba tampanya me. Wona duma shewuma. Kedia pon. Yeah, I say, why when you name Batampan Yame, when I do my shawma, when I do my shawma, trade your point, yeah, I see ya. Trade upon Yeda was when you Every head bowed, every eye closed. This morning, I want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's a very useless life when Christ is not the center of it. And today, I don't want you to walk out of here without surrendering your life to Jesus. And I want to pray with you. If you want to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, wherever you are, can you lift up your right hand and I'm going to pray for you? Or you're watching us, you're online watching us, and you need Jesus in your life, lift up your hand and I'm going to pray with you. And why don't we all join in this prayer together? Say, dear Lord Jesus, today I come to you just as I am. Please forgive me for all my sins. Wash me with your precious blood. From today, I am yours. You are mine. I will serve you. I will follow you. I will live for you. Thank you, Father, for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, let everybody say amen.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.